Welcome back, everybody, to the Reflex Blue Show. I'm your host, Donovan Beery, and we're here still in the Heights Convention Center. This is actually our last of our How Design Live interviews, and we have with us Dina Keller from Method. Dina, how are you doing today?
Good. I'm doing well. I'm glad that it's Friday.
These conferences, they feel so short, but at the same time, they feel so long.
Yeah, they are. They're pretty intense.
Now, when was your talk?
Talk was actually yesterday. So it was at 4:30 yesterday. So we had, which was good and bad. You know, we had more time to prepare, but also then it was more time to prepare. So
right. I mean, the people who talk like first thing, they're the winners.
Yeah.
Sagmeister, totally. Who's speaking here. Literally as it closes down. But yeah. Of course, he speaks so much, I don't even think he cares.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the turnout there is.
Yeah, because there is that thing where even though you want to see the last session, you got to deal with flights.
Yeah.
And if you're flying, like in your case, you're flying to San Francisco after this. That's not a 30-minute ride.
No. Yeah. I mean, but I think they intentionally put him at the end to try and get people to stay for the whole thing.
Well, they always
try to.
You always have, you know, you want to close with a big name or
sure.
something or
yeah.
excitement. So who else spoke with you?
I co-presented with Saskia Van Gent. She's part of our greenskeeping team. So greenskeeping is kind of the sustainability part of Method. So
yeah, and that's obviously a very big part of the Method brand.
Sure, yeah. And so we decided to co-present. Just we thought it would be relevant and helpful for this audience, also because our talk was about how to design sustainably, but also just to kind of give those two points of view in the company and get that other perspective to kind of balance out mine. I think sometimes when designers talk to designers, it's maybe not as helpful. When it's good to have someone else to kind of bring in some reality or, you know, another point of view.
And now what is it that you do at Method?
So I'm the design lead. What does that mean? It means I actually work on a ton of stuff pretty broadly from, packaging design. What my day-to-day is working on that, but then also brand communication for the broader company, and then also looking at our greenskeeping communication. I kind of head up that area too.
So when I go into like Target and I see the Method product, mm-hmm. You guys actually have like custom bottles and stuff.
Sure. That's so we have an industrial design team. And so they head up doing the actual bottle form design. And then the packaging design is really doing the label and the communication on the package. And if we do shrink, it's designing what the shrink looks like and that those patterns are executions. And I kind of primarily focus on the personal care, so that's hand and body for Method.
So I assume one of the perks of the job is a lot of free soap.
Yeah.
gallons a week of soap.
I don't know if I go through gallons, but it's kind of on an honor system. But actually, Method, everyone is pretty good about. No one's like hoarding it or taking advantage of that, I think.
I'm just figuring that everyone in your family for Christmas just gets, a 3-gallon container of soap.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I mean, they get a ton of products that, it's also because it's my work, so I like to be able to give someone something that I actually got to touch.
Oh, sure.
And have some connection with, yeah.
And I know when you go down the supermarket shelf and you see the Method product, the big mission is like the sustainable part and the environmental part, but it also, it looks better. Like the containers look a lot better than the soap next to it, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not the most glamorous it's soap.
Right.
But Method has kind of elevated that whole aisle of the supermarket over the years.
Yeah, that's our plan. Our point of view is really trying to elevate design and lead with design for that category and kind of trying to make our products counter-worthy because, a lot of the products we do hand wash is out on the counter and dish soap is out on the counter. And so just making something that people want to keep out and kind of be proud of, we kind of have that sustainability aspect kind of just baked into to the product.
And you guys are in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. How long has Method been around? Because I just remember seeing it one day just walking through.
Sure.
And all of a sudden it did change the whole that whole like niche didn't exist before, but right. Now it's becoming kind of big. So I also assume you guys have competitors that you didn't when you started.
Right. So we actually started as a company in 2001. So what is that?
It's relatively new. I mean,
We're
supermarket sense. It's a new.
Yeah,
new
we're
brand.
Still pretty young, a baby company compared to some of the other bigger players. But we started and really kind of got a huge part of our market is obviously Target, but we're in a lot of other stores, but that was kind of where we kind of were able to launch and do really successfully and kind of grow from there. Over the years we've gotten more competitors, but I mean, I think we just kind of lean into what we do best, which is really bringing design and sustainability together and kind of using that as a differentiator. And also leaning into, our fragrances and, products that we, they actually do really work really, really well, even against the, mainstream competitors.
Which is great. So, okay, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back with Dina Keller. Now, one of the other things, though, is you guys are in-house, and it's always amazing because there's a lot of in-house jobs that people are like, oh, I'm in-house, or they're in-house, but there's also a lot of agency jobs that aren't the best.
Right.
But then you hear things like this, and you start thinking, and you're like, oh, like, Method's products are in-house, like, they don't just farm that out to someone?
Sure.
Do you guys do the vast majority of the stuff that we see on the shelf in-house? Or?
Yeah. So we actually have a whole brand experience team. And so it's bringing a lot.
How big is an in-house team at a company?
Sure.
Like that?
So our creative studio, which is part of brand experience, is, about like 10 people. It's pretty small. There's actually maybe, 1, 2, 3, 4. Five designers, one copywriter, our creative director. We have two production people, and I think that's a little about it.
Yeah, but I've seen like 40 people agencies that only have five designers.
Oh, right. So. Yeah. So I mean, that's our team, but we do a lot with our small team, we're part of this brand experience team, which also is we have PR capabilities in-house. We have consumer response in-house. We have interactive design in-house. So it's kind of bringing these capabilities and using that as a differentiator because being in the building really makes a huge difference and having that access to all the other areas of the business and just having that access is really is amazing and really necessary. Where I worked before this was I did work at a design firm, and we did have some big clients that we did packaging for, and I felt that even whenever we presented, no matter what, we were always behind the, they had 2 meetings or 5 meetings since we had last presented, and the whole objective had changed. We were totally out of the loop. We were always kind of playing catch up. It's just that things there just move really fast. And I just felt we were never having that access. We weren't in those meetings where those decisions were made. So our designs were just never as relevant as they or, they weren't solving the problem because the problem had changed, but we weren't in that meeting to address that issue. So coming to Method and being, in those meetings, helping make those decisions and kind of guide the strategy really is a huge differentiator, and it's a huge differentiator for our brand is having all these capabilities in-house.
What is the best product to get to work on there? Like, what's your personal favorite?
Yeah, there's a ton of products I love working on. I think.
Like, how many products does Method sell now? Like, do you know
I don't even know how many SKUs we have. A lot. Probably over 100 easily.
Sure.
I think, I kind of said earlier, I focus on hand and body, so personal care, and recently what we've been working on and has been really successful is our limited edition program, and that's a seasonal program that we started at Target. It's been doing really well. So it's something that's on the shelves. It's a collection that's of three different fragrances that's in gel hand wash and foaming hand wash, and we've just added body wash to it. And it's there for 6 months. And then we bring something else in for 6 months. So it's constantly revolving, but it's a really great opportunity for design. We can kind of put some new things out there that kind of stretch the brand, and we can kind of try and reach a new consumer with this limited edition. Because it's only out there for 6 months, we can kind of stretch the design and kind of reach someone new to kind of bring them into the brand. And the program's been really successful, and it's been really exciting to work on. So I get to design this whole collection every 6 months that's brand new and is, a little bit, a little bit different from our core consumer and kind of bringing someone new in. And that's been really fun.
It also makes sense of why, even though you just sell like a static number of products, you have in-house design because you guys are constantly changing it because of the limited edition and such.
Yeah, so it's really fun to kind of just work on that and get to always be, coming out with something new. Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back. Dina, how long have you been at Method? I forgot to ask.
So I've been there for 6 years. So I've been there for a while, and we've actually
that's like half the company's lifespan.
Yeah.
Like
I know, right?
Like in their span, like my first job was at the railroad, and they're like 125 years old.
Oh my gosh!
Wow. My 2.5 years is like a blip.
Sure.
It's like nothing.
Yeah, I've seen it go through some changes. When I think I first started working there was right when we were in this huge area of growth. We were growing really, really fast. We weren't necessarily profitable, but it was crazy.
What? A startup company in San Francisco growing fast and not necessarily being profitable? That's everybody out there, isn't it?
It's a little bit different when you're a CPG company. You actually have a product to be selling. But, I've been there through these growing pains of going from this, a little bit more of an established startup to becoming, okay, let's actually be a profitable company. And how do we continue to grow, but how do we keep the culture inside Method, what it is and kind of what has made us be who we are and make us successful?
Yeah, because a lot of companies, as they grow and they become more corporate, they lose their excitement.
Yeah.
And you see it in the faces of the employees if you see them after work.
We had this point too where you could tell that the culture was a little bit different. It was a little bit suffering, and it was we took a time out and kind of thought, how are we going to rejuvenate this? And we kind of really took time to invest in the culture and kind of make sure that it stayed alive and educated the new people as they did come in and kind of facilitate that culture and kind of keep it, alive and well.
Well, you also mentioned that you had your own like studio, you talk about the creative team as a studio. So mm-hmm. Does it feel like, is it Gray Cubicle Corporate, or do you guys actually have like a studio feel to it?
Say more the idea that the whole office is kind of a studio feel. It's an open space, an open plan. So anyone can come up here. Nobody has offices. Everyone can come up to your desk at any time. And I think that really facilitates a lot of collaboration, which is pretty good. And it's great that, like, if you have a question about anything or you don't understand something about a project you're working on, you can just go talk to that person. If there's something with the formula that you don't understand, or you want to, you don't understand a greenkeeping aspect of something, you can just go talk to that person, and you can kind of understand their thinking and their point of view, and you can kind of come to a solution together.
So that's wonderful. And I also assume that, like, in the place, it's all Method soap in the bathrooms or something. Because my wife comes and visits my office, and she's like, the soap here sucks.
Give you some soap.
We're just in a office building, so
sure.
It's like a it's in the hallway, and so it's just the terrible pink stuff that comes.
That stuff is terrible. Yeah. It's really funny. My mother and my sister both are in the teaching profession, and they both go out of their way to bring in Method hand wash into their bathrooms at their schools. And, you know, teachers are like, look for it then, and they love that, and it's there. So it's kind of, you know, you can bring it into your office.
No. We're not sharing. Oh. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it's a group thing, and we don't care about anyone else in the building.
Oh, okay.
So, and congratulations, I heard you had a new a kid here recently.
I did. I had a little daughter named Olive, and she's now 14 months, and it's super exciting to be parents. It's really trippy.
Right.
It's pretty surreal that, you know, you're responsible, solely responsible for this child. But it's super exciting, and every day is, you know, a trip.
No, is she up and then and running and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Our girl is 20 months now, and just, I mean, she can destroy a room in 5 minutes. So it's impressive.
Yeah. Well, she'll just be, you know, you'll be in one room, and then you think she's there, and then you're like, oh, you're not even in this room. Okay, where did you go?
Right. And if you can't hear it, then it's, you're really nervous because you're like, something bad's going
on. Yeah. But, yeah, no, she's super fun. Yeah.
All right. Well, when you went to Method, I guess, well, let's ask a couple more questions here. Mm-hmm. Was it, what drove you to actually go in-house? Because before that, you were in a studio and stuff. Like, what was the inspiration?
I had like a bad day at my design firm. It was a pretty big design firm, and so the office that I was working in San Francisco was just a smaller satellite office within this bigger company that had 18 offices worldwide.
Whoa, so you never even see the decision makers there, like at all?
Well, we had our own clients for that office. Okay. So, you know, and our team was actually, it was nice. It was kind of like a small design firm within a small studio within a bigger company. So we ran our own clients, and we had our own small team. There was like six of us in that office. So it was good in that way, but it was bad in that I kind of, after being there for 2 years, I kind of saw the writing on the wall that just the overall organization of that studio, of that firm, was that you would kind of, they wouldn't necessarily look to promote designers or move you up. It was more, they were on the idea, we'll just hire younger designers fresh out of school to work harder and longer for cheaper. And instead of, you know, facilitating growth and facilitating, supporting someone on a career path.
There is an ad agency model that is used by a number of places that they make sure that their top people are real creative and just great.
Yeah.
And then everyone below that just burn them out, bring in new blood.
Yeah, and I kind of saw that.
Thankfully, I've never been in that situation, but it's probably why I'm still in this profession, because half of those people just like leave the profession.
Yeah.
But their portfolios are amazing.
Sure.
I mean,
our actual, you know, our individual team was amazing. My boss was amazing, and my coworker. It was just kind of that bigger picture of kind of seeing that. I was like, oh, okay, like this isn't necessarily a place I can continue to grow permanently. And I just had a bad day. I was just like, oh, like they just don't really see my value. And so I had actually interviewed at Method earlier. It was not for the right position or anything, but I had kept in touch with Eric, one of the founders. So I was, you know, before I even was like, okay, I'm going to start this job search, I thought, you know, I'll just reach out to him, see if there's anything at Method, because I would really, you know, that's one place in the Bay Area that I would love to work. And he was like, yeah, we have lots of jobs. I mean, it just worked out that I had kept that relationship up, and it did work out. But the reason I really wanted to go there too was that I've always really thought sustainable design was really important, and that's personally important to me.
It's always nice to work on something that you actually believe in as well.
Well, and that was, you know, one really thing that was, you know, kind of where I wanted my career to go. I wanted to be able to work on things I felt good about. And also where I was at this design firm, I just felt, oh my gosh, you know, we're just really, I'm, you know, working on things that I don't really believe in. We're trying to, like, you know, feed, you know, give people, you know, try to sell something that somebody, it's not even a good product, right? And
right.
So I didn't believe in it. I felt at Method that I could believe in the product and I could feel good about what I did. And that was really important for me. And that's kind of how I ended up there. And I also saw this advantage of, and this opportunity.
You just
of,
saw the gallons and gallons of soap. And you just took it. I like it.
Well, I just also saw that opportunity to do something new and kind of challenge myself to work in-house too. That was something that I thought would be something that I should do in my career. And then also I had seen, like I said before, how not being in-house on the clients we had worked at, how we were always like a step behind. I thought, you know, if we're in-house, I would probably be able to just design more relevant, you know, we would solve the problems we needed to solve, you know, accurately because we would be there and we would be in the room to kind of make those decisions.
Now, do you guys have like your own style guide or is it set up to where since you guys do it all in-house, you just kind of know what it is?
Yeah, it's kind of like we know what it is. We don't really have a style guide.
It's more like the Starbucks method where you just have kind of an overreaching
message. Yeah, we kind of intuitively all just know what to do and kind of where we can kind of continue to push the brand on our own. But I guess one thing we did just recently do a style guide because I don't know if we didn't really touch on this, but in 2012, we actually merged with another green cleaning company, Ecovair, which is based in Belgium. And so now we actually have two brands to work on. And part of that, I don't know how well known that is, but part of taking on this other brand is we've been going through we're doing a huge redesign for them. So that'll be launching in July. So you'll have to check that out. But also,
where do people find out more about Method and Ecovair?
I mean, you can go to ecovair.com.
How do you spell that?
ecovair.com.
Okay.
And then methodhome.com for Method. But merged with them, and you know, they're this one of the first green cleaning companies out there. They started in 1979. They had the first phosphate-free detergent. So they're kind of this heritage brand, especially in Europe. People really, it doesn't necessarily, people don't maybe have that much awareness of it in the U.S. And that's a little bit about why we're redesigning it and we're kind of relaunching
sure.
them is because they haven't had this big impact in the U.S. and they would like to. And so that's kind of why we're kind of doing what we're doing. So it's kind of exciting, but part of that too, as I said, we just did a style guide, is really kind of making sure we are kind of making sure everyone is on the same page. 'Cause now they're helping us in the European market. Oh.
I should have warned you that the lights in this room just go off randomly every 20
randomly.
Minutes if we don't move around.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Plus, it gives me a time to stretch out in between these
shows. So they're kind of helping us grow in the European market, and we're kind of helping them grow in the U.S. market. And part of that is really making sure everyone's on the same page, and that's the reason we kind of created a style guide. So our European kind of counterparts can kind of help bring the brand to life there and kind of know all the stuff that we have kind of.
Does that mean that all of a sudden now you have to learn how to design in foreign languages?
We have to consider designing packaging with like four language on. It's kind of crazy, but.
So like not just like there's like, oh, here's a German one, here's an English, like it's got all four languages on
the
same package.
Depending, the European market is a little bit different. You know, some of those products go into multiple countries and need multiple languages on it. So yeah, I think, I'm not sure, some of them are, I might even be more like 10. I think one of them has 10. It's like nuts, right? And so we're kind of navigating what.
And
does
you're
that
trying
look
to
like.
Make it clean and simple, and then they're like,
yeah.
Okay, now not only put more copy on it, but put the copy on there 10 times.
Yeah. So it's been the redesign has been pretty interesting, kind of making this system that works with 10 languages on it. You know, how does that work, and what does that even look like? especially, you know, front of pack, on the back of pack. So that's kind of what we're figuring out now.
And there's not even 10 sides on a pack. So it's not like you can be like, no. Oh, we'll put one on the front. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. So it's really breaking down the communication into the shortest form and using icons that are kind of universal. So it's really thinking about, okay, how can we make this a global thing that works pretty well? And yeah, so that's kind of what we're in the middle of doing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's amazing because even in-house jobs have, like, challenges like that where all of a sudden you're like, I guess I'm doing something completely new now.
Yeah.
I assume it's almost like working at a different company all of a sudden.
It is a little crazy that it's like, oh, there's this whole other brand with a whole new look. And we kind of figured out what that look would be. But still, it's you're like, oh, you can't rely back on these, you know, tools or tricks that you're using for method. You're kind of building a whole new skill set for these new, you know, design look and feel for this new brand, which is actually kind of exciting and refreshing.
Okay, well, Dina, thank you very much for being on the show. It was great to have you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was fun.
We'll keep looking. Every 6 months, you can go to Target, see Dina's new work.
Oh, yeah, you should definitely check out the new limited edition.
Does Target have the best shelf display, or is there another store that displays your product?
No, I would say Target is one of the best. You know,
I want our listeners to see your work in its best light.
Sure. So I would say Target, they have different store plant, you know, different setups, but the majority of their stores, we are actually in a couple areas of the store. So there's one aisle, the cleaning aisle. We're part of the Clean Living set, which is kind of the natural.
Which, as I said, is almost like you guys created that section in the mass market stores anyway.
Yeah, so we have a huge set there. That's all our cleaning products. And then we have laundry detergent. So we have a fabric care, section of in Target. And then the stuff that I work on directly, hand and body, are in another aisle with where the hand wash is. And we actually have a whole 4-foot set that you should totally check out. And the top shelf of that is our limited edition. So, and that's always changing. So go check that out.
The Reflex Blue Show with Donovan Beery is hosted at 36point.com. Music by Dustlab. Find out more at myspace.com/dustlab.